I'm back, lads. I heard the slander. I dodged the shots that were fired my way on the podcast last week. But I'm back in the point across again? The pond.
I can't remember. Oh.
What even there were so they? Many of them. There were so many of them that faded from my memory too. But welcome in the pocket across the pond. I'm Lewis, joined by the two Alexes. Week 14. Ooh. I'm salivating just thinking of the offences. Not the defences, the offences. Let's kick it right off and talk about the Bills and the Rams. Bills 42, Rams 44. What a game. I'm going to jump in right away and be a Scrooge and say, I'm saying this can't be classed as a great NFL game, because in my book, a great NFL game has to have some semblance of defensive play, which this didn't have. 86 points scored, no turnovers. Great offensive display, but in my book, a great NFL game, the other side of the ball has to show up. But anyway, that's my Scrooge take done. Al, mental this one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 51 fantasy points for Josh Allen, 6 total touchdowns, absolutely insane. Though again, going to maybe be a bit of a Scrooge and say, are we not back to the Josh Allen is Superman, has to put the team on his back to try and win a game narrative that we've been in on the Bills for the past 4 years, 5 years? No, I'm sick. It's like clockwork. The Bills, the Ravens, the heat up in weeks 6 to 10, 6 to 11. Everyone thinks they're the best team in the league, and then they lose a few games, and then they'll heat up again another time for a couple of weeks before the end of the season. It's boring. It's boring. Yeah. I mean, this game wasn't boring. This game was amazing. The discourse surrounding Josh Allen and the Bills is boring. Josh Allen's an amazing player. The Bills are the same team that they've been for the past 3 years. They've got no one other than Josh Allen. Let's stop convincing ourselves otherwise. But yeah, big game.
It was, yeah. And I mean, the Rams, Sharples, they control the path to the playoff now. Are they a tricky team to face when they're all healthy? I mean, listen, they just, you know, outscored the Bills in a shootout. That's no small feat.
It's like, I think we were talking about it last week, Al. It was, you know, talking about teams that you just don't want to play in the playoffs, and these guys probably top of the list, hitting form at the right time. Obviously, they did what they needed to do when they had the injuries, when Nacua was out. They held on, and now they're back, and they look like an absolute wrecking ball. You're right, conceding 42 points isn't good, but you could argue that they were just doing what the game dictated. They were able to put up enough, and it's really, really juicy NFC this year. There's some great teams in there, and it's going to be a fun last few games.
I agree. Yeah, I think they're going to be a tough out if they get to the postseason.
I have a question, though, based off what Al was saying. So, because obviously it was unreal game from Allen, but three of his touchdowns were obviously just 1 yard running it in on the goal line. If, for example, James Cook is given those and it just spreads the point out a bit more, does that make the Bills look better? Like, is it, do you know what I mean? Does it paint a less of a dramatic picture? Because to me, that was just prime Dak Prescott in garbage time trying to save his week. He just did it for the full game.
I think it speaks volumes that clearly Josh Allen is a much better red zone rushing threat than James Cook is, and this team knows that. So it's back to this idea that actually it's just Allen.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And also, James Cook sort of inexplicably had like hardly any work in this game. They didn't even give him a chance to get going, because before they knew it, it was the third quarter, and they were down big, so they had to hurry it out. But I don't know. Key to this Bills team seems to be they look really good when they're running the ball better than they have been, essentially. Like, earlier in the season, when the new offensive coordinator came in the middle of last season, what's the guy's name? Can't remember.
Joe Brady.
There was a more of a focus on the run. This is why I picked James Cook as my fantasy MVP this year. And they have done that from time to time, but they just all of a sudden just lose it. Like, there was no... Obviously, if the Rams are stout in that department, but I just don't think early in this game there was no reason for them to not try and establish it, and I don't think they did, really. But yeah, interesting. Another pretty high-scoring game. Two NFC rivals, two NFC North rivals, Packers and Lions. Packers 31, Lions 34. Lions sweep the Packers this year. But this Lions defense may be an issue, Sharples.
They've certainly been leaking more points. I think they're probably their attitude is just, you know, we rock up and we put 30 on a team and that should be enough to win, and generally it should be. But yeah, no, it is concerning. Obviously, the injury to Hutchinson's been certainly been felt. But yeah, I'm still not too worried about them, just because they've racked up so many points against everyone that I just don't see how that doesn't continue. And that's probably when we start getting into a circumstances when the Rams come to town in the playoffs, and obviously the Rams can put up just as many points, so it could be interesting. But I think they've got enough about them to fend off most teams. It's just, yeah, will they be able to get to the summit with the defense giving up as many points as they are? And that is certainly arguable.
Well, they're going to test that theory of yours this week because they're against the Bills. Mm-hmm. So they're going to test that theory of can they outscore everybody. Very excited for that game. But yeah, I mean, I sort of agree with you that the boldness of the style of play and their attitude, the gutsiness to just go for it on all those fourth downs, the fourth down conversion that ended up making them able to run the clock down and kick the field goal, that was gutsy, really. But that's what this team is about. You can tell they just believe they're going to win. They believe they're going to do it. I think Dan Campbell said in his shouty post-match scream-along that they're destined to win. We're destined for this, is what he said. Which I think is also a dangerous thing to say to your players. I don't know. But on the other side of this one...
Team like Detroit, where they've done absolutely nothing for 50 years, I think you have to build up a bit of confidence, because it's not like they've got anything to be complacent about. Like, they've been garbage for, as I said, half a century. So
yeah,
maybe it did need that changing attitude.
Yeah, on the other side of this, the Packers just missing out on this one again. It feels like this happened to the Packers quite a lot this year, but I mean, they're still probably going to make the playoffs. Still got a good record, I'd say, but maybe a year or two out, Al, for this Packers team in terms of really, really competing.
I wouldn't want them to show up in my place in the playoffs, as like you said, Sharps, we were talking about last week. I wouldn't want the Packers showing up. The Packers are one of those teams that you know, there's probably only five or six teams in the league that you could say this about. I actually wouldn't be surprised if they ended up in the Super Bowl this year, the Packers. I'd be way more surprised if the Vikings got to the Super Bowl, for instance. So yeah, I think they're really good, the Packers. And we know you're a Packers fan as well, Luke.
Yep.
Big cheesehead.
Just a well-coached team, I'd say. I just like that coach, and the quarterback's pretty damn good too. Elsewhere in the NFC, you just mentioned them, Al. The Vikings, they beat the Falcons 21, Vikings 42. Mm-hmm. This is, no, I know we have been bashing the Vikings on this show quite a bit, particularly during this 6-game winning streak that they're on. This was certainly the most convincing win of that 6-game winning streak. I mean, or was it? It was against the Falcons. Mm. Are the Falcons bad?
They turned it on. Yeah, Luke, I said this last week and I'll say it again. I'll take the W because when I said about a month ago that the Falcons were my not buying it team, my not buying it win that week because they just beat the Buccaneers and everyone was calling the NFC South, it's the Falcons, it's done. And I said, I'm not buying it because I don't think it's done. And they've lost every single game since then. Yeah, and the Bucs are leading that division. And I said, check the tape, that I don't believe this means the NFC South is done. So there we go. And Kirk Cousins looks terrible. He looks absolutely awful.
He has done no touchdowns in the last 4 games. He's not looked great, has he? So the Falcons might just be bad. Either way, the Vikings are 11-2. That's the tied for the third best record in the league with the Eagles. Best game of the season from Sam Darnold as well, Sharples. Have they just done this to confuse us? Or is what's going on here with the Vikings?
Yes, it's just to confuse you. it's typical Jordan Addison, goes missing for a couple of weeks, then catches literally everything that comes near him. I think with the Vikings, although I agree I'm not sold on them, we'll really see on those last 2 games of the season, because they play the Packers and then they play the Lions. If they can come out of that beating both those 2 teams, then you start thinking, well, maybe, but I just don't see it. To be fair to them, like you said, they've been on a good run, but the teams they've beat in this, I mean, look, I'm reading at it now, Colts, Jaguars,
I'm doing the exact same thing.
Bears, Cardinals, and now the Falcons. Like, fair play. They've, you know, it's hard to win any game in the NFL, but there is a ceiling with this team to me, and unfortunately, the ceiling's name is Sam Darnold. And like, to be fair, still been a great season for him. Like, he's completely rebuilt his image to me. Like, I thought he was going to be out of the league, and he's shown that he can, you know, man the helm of a more than competent team. It's just when push comes to shove, and, you know, it's like the old cliche, if you're in Lambeau in the snow, is he the guy you want? I guess we'll see in 3 weeks, but I'm not totally convinced that he is.
Yeah, I mean, you are talking about future New York quarterback.
Yes, the prodigal son returns.
You can insert either there, whichever you fancy. The Jets or the Giants, I think, are both maybe going to be in the sweepstakes for that guy. Someone's going to pay that guy a lot of money to be, Sam Darnold, I think, really. But he's been playing well. He's earned the bag. He has earned the bag. I'll give this to Sam Darnold. He is earning his bag more than Daniel Jones ever did. So,
these last couple of years now, is Kevin O'Connell being cemented as the best quarterback head coach in the league? It seems to get QB a lot whisperer. Of these guys. QB whisperer.
That's a shame, but he does seem to get an awful lot out of him, and his record as a head coach is pretty absurd at the minute. I mean, the league is soon just going to be taken up by the McVay Shanahan tree. I mean, the amount of these guys that are out there. I think O'Connell is a very good coach, though. Yeah,
he is. I agree. Let's stay in at the NFC. Talk about the other team with the third best record in the league, the Eagles. They beat the Panthers 16-22. But typical Eagles, even in a win, there's a lot of chatter afterwards. You know, a lot of chatter from their own players, from the fans and stuff about not really being satisfied, this, that, and the other. In fairness, I do think there has been a notable sustained improvement in the Panthers. They do look like an all right team. They don't look awful. And Bryce Young has looked pretty competent. To the point where it's like, yeah, you know what? Let's run it back next year, see what happens then, another year under his belt in this offense with this head coach. Let's see, because they look like they're putting up some decent games here, even though they're not getting the wins.
They should have won this game. If the rookie receiver could hold on to the ball, they'd have won this game, really.
Mm.
Legette,
yeah. The Eagles, are they a bit one-dimensional? I don't know. Having AJ Brown on a couple of my fantasy teams, it certainly felt like they've not wanted to throw the ball as much this year. What do you think, Sharples? Obviously, Saquon Barkley's having an all-time season, but you still have to have something in the passing game there, something going, some movement, some game-breaking ability in the passing game, because you can't just ride that one guy to a Super Bowl.
No, I do get that, but I suppose, you know, on the other hand, you've got to feed the hot hand, which is Saquon, and, you know, generally speaking, running the ball is always inherently safer than throwing it. You know, less chance of a fumble than an interception, you'd probably say. I don't know. It's a tough one. I would think they would be throwing it a bit more, even just to save Saquon's legs. He's been perfectly injury free so far this year, but.
Mm-hmm.
No guarantee that that's not going to change. So
yeah,
and we know what wide receivers are like. They're certainly temperamental, and especially guys like AJ Brown and Devonta Smith, who have had big years in the past. You know, they'll be thinking, "Why aren't they throwing me the ball?" But they're up there. They're 11-2, 12-2
mm-hmm.
Eagles. So
11-2, yeah.
It's working. Certainly not pretty, and they've not been steamrolling teams. But if I suppose most coaches are thinking, if I don't have to throw the ball, I'd rather run it. And when they've got someone like Saquon, they don't have to throw it. So can't see it changing any time soon,
no.
To be honest.
No, that's it. That's it, yeah. They're going to have one hell of a test this week, though, against the Steelers. Comfortable wins for the Steelers and the Seahawks. Both cruising towards the playoffs, those teams, I'd say. Probably. The Seahawks obviously interested in that division. 49ers finally showed up, beat the Bears 13-38. Most points scored. The 49ers scored more points in this game than in the previous three games combined. So that's the Bears effect for you.
Wow.
That is the Bears effect for you. Obviously, that team is in transition. I'd say. The Bears looked promising at times this year earlier in the season, to the point where I think that's a pretty exciting team if you're a head coach, you know, wanting to, well, or if you're a budding head coach, really looking to get your first job this coming summer, that Bears one would probably be the top of the list. The Jets, Sharples? The Jets.
The Jets are a football team.
The Jets are a football team who have just cemented one half of my hot take on the season, because they're eliminated from playoff contention, having lost 26-32 to the Dolphins in overtime. Dolphins are sneaking up on the playoffs a bit here, Al. Passing games got rolling. Tua scored multiple touchdowns and over 300 yards in all of the past three games. Are they as dangerous in the AFC as a team like the Rams in the NFC, or no?
No.
Still got that cold weather element.
Their offense just still doesn't even seem to necessarily be flowing like it was last year. No, I don't think they're particularly dangerous. Last year they were steamrolling people in the regular season, and it was one and done. So. To think they would get in the playoffs and do anything is, you know, a bit ludicrous.
And any comment on the Jets, Sharples, on the Jets? Pathetic, I would say. Pathetic season.
it's not been good. It all hinged on Rodgers, really. And obviously that hasn't worked out. The defense, I think they're still getting lauded as being one of the best defenses, but they've been so hit and miss this year. Truthfully, I'm glad I'm not in a you know, any kind of GM or directorial position, because I just don't know what direction you would go from here. It's not a good situation.
Yeah, agreed. And for 1 week only, I'm sure I'm gonna lord it over you that the Jets are out of the playoffs, but mathematically, the Cowboys, there's still a chance, baby.
Yep.
Mathematically, there's still a chance. So the Cowboys, officially this season, better than the Jets.
Yeah.
Hope you both sleep well tonight.
I'm really gonna. And the Chiefs, another one-score victory.
Doink.
Against the Chargers. I said this stat a little bit earlier in the season, but I want to come back to it. So 10 of the Chiefs' 12 wins have been by one score, and half of those 10 wins have been by 3 points or fewer. Just saying, I know it's the Chiefs, but every year you have these teams, and that just isn't sustainable at all, really. But hey, we'll see. It's the Chiefs, whatever. Impressive victory, though, Al.
It's probably going to have to be the Vikings, just because they completely turned it on in the fourth quarter and the Falcons didn't have any answer for it.
Yeah. Sharples?
I went Seahawks. Probably not just solely off this game. I think it's just funny how, I think it was probably 4 weeks ago, we were sort of talking about how that we were saying, oh, that division's the tightest one, how's it going to shake out? And I think we all had the Seahawks finishing last at that point, and then since then,
yeah,
obviously ripped off a 4-game win streak, and now we're in the driving seat. So yeah, they've done what they needed to do in terms of beating in-division rivals, Cardinals again. So yeah, I just thought I'd give them props for that.
Yeah, that's nice. I know we're keeping tabs on the little gauntlet that they had going, and fair enough, they did. They've been beaten in division, which is what you have to do. I also went the Vikings. Thought that was the most dominant win this week. Not buying it win, Al.
The Jaguars. Dreadful game. Awful game. Against the Titans, I mean, the less of this one you watch, the better, really.
Yeah.
Garbage stuff.
Sharps?
I went the 49ers. I just think it's too little, too late.
I also went Jacksonville, obviously, because what an awful game. And then who's the worst team in the league, Al?
It's the Bears.
Chapels?
I tried to write the Titans, but I misspelt it, so it's the Titus.
The Titus. I agree, it is that. To not do anything against this Jags defense that's been torched like every which way this season is awful. Awful.
Yeah, I think Brian Callahan could be one and done as a head coach of the Titans, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-mm. Yeah. They've not looked mint.
To have let Vrabel, of all people, walk as well for this.
And be interested to see if reading stuff about Bill Belichick not having much sort of interest in him, Vrabel. I mean, maybe they want these young studs, coordinators who haven't, there's the untapped potential there, I don't know, but Vrabel's a good head coach, and it's weird that, he should have a job in the league.
I think Vrabel's nailed on for the Raiders job, personally.
Shout.
His good friend is high up in the organisation now.
He is. Mr. Thomas Brady. That's right.
Yeah.
Best players on the week, though, Josh Allen, 342 for 3 in the air, and then 82 rushing yards and 3 rushing touchdowns. Over 50 fantasy points. I read something like he's the most fantasy points by a quarterback since, 1950. Obviously, not playing fantasy then, but obviously if you look at the stats. yeah, mental.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. I think it was strictly four point passing touchdown, 4 point rushing touchdown for quarterbacks back then. So that's why it throws it off. I don't know why they played fantasy like that back then. Obviously now you can choose between the 4 and 6 point passing touchdown, but of course a rushing touchdown would be 6 points. So however they were playing fantasy in the '50s, I don't know.
That's right. But I'm sure Josh Allen got plenty of people into the fantasy football playoffs this week. Turned up when you needed him to. Crazy performance. Jamar Chase, another one. 14 for 177 and two. That's a one hell of a stat line, and he's done that multiple times this season. Jamar Chase is popping off, and he's really trying to earn that bag. And I think he might just have done. Puka Nacua, 12 for 162 and 1, and then 16 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown as well. Great to see that. Feel like we've really seen Nacua take the reins of as this lead receiver on this team. Is that right, do you reckon?
Yeah.
A guy who's also doing that, Jordan Addison. 8 for 133 and 3. Justin Jefferson also had 7 for 132 and 2. So just not as good. One less in every. That's quite strange, actually. One less in every stat there. That's quite strange. Funny how they did that. I'm sure they planned that, the lads. And then Sam Darnold in that game. Of course, he had a mint game as well because of those two. 347 for 5. Nice of Carr Bonnet to steal all of Ken Walker's potential points. 134 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, then 7 for 59 through the air. That's better than Ken Walker's been. That's a better fantasy game than Ken Walker's had all season, really. So that's good to see when Ken Walker was out and surely cost many people a position in their fantasy football playoffs. Thanks for that, Carr Bonnet. Tyreek Hill, 10 for 115 and 1, was trying to get as many receiving yards as children, but didn't quite get up there.
Do you mean receptions?
No, receiving yards.
Okay.
No, I did not misspeak.
Yeah, that's some absurd news coming out this past week. Yeah, it's just baffling stuff.
Yeah, look into it. John Jennings, he's back, 7 for 90 and 2. Isaac Garrido, 78 for 2, and 2 receptions for 50 yards as well. Which that's a great Christian McCaffrey game. That is a vintage Christian McCaffrey game by Isaac Garrido there. Great job. Devontae Adams with a nice game in that pathetic Jets game. Josh Jacobs, Rashad White, Joe Burrow, Chase Brown. Josh Jacobs had three rushing touchdowns. Do you know how many fantasy points he had? 'Cause it should be more.
I don't think
he had three rushing touchdowns. So you're like, surely he's in the 30s.
25?
24.6 in PPR, which I'm saying in PPR, that doesn't matter because he didn't have any receptions. He had 66 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. Listen, that's the
equivalent. He's been lights out. There's a credit you, Lou, you said to pick up Josh Jacobs, and he's been, you know.
Yeah.
He's been unbelievable.
Because they were coming.
I was trying to get him so hard while he still wasn't great, and I just couldn't get hold of him.
Yeah. You know, it's that phrase that I hate, that positive regression, was coming in the touchdowns, and it has done in a big way. Yes.
I feel like you don't mind that phrase, but Sharple's debunked your not liking of the phrase.
Yeah. I can't remember it. Yeah. I think if we went back and checked the tapes, I did. But I like it, Lewis. It's a character quirk for you. Part of your backstory.
But yeah, Josh Jacobs, the equivalent of raw dogging 24 fantasy points, just completely.
This is a family show.
24 fantasy points, no receptions.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, I did mention him, but 369 for three. Do you know when the last time Joe Burrow had a game without three or more passing touchdowns?
Oh, week. I had him this year.
Week three.
That would be mental.
No, it's not
week. week five.
Seven.
Okay, it's week eight. Not as good anymore.
Oh, it's not as
but
good.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's 6 weeks, you know, which is pretty crazy. Yeah. But crazy bad with these players.
Sorry, Lou. Just before we do, just a little addendum to that. Of those names that you read out just then, of those big hitters, how many of them played against you this week?
A lot. Probably a lot, because you had a lot of them, didn't you? And you absolutely stuffed me. This is a 10 team. So just to get into context, very good of a score this is. 10 team PPR, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, two flex, tight end, defense. Mm. What did you get? 213.
Yeah, Sharples well put up. I think maybe the most weekly points we've ever had in our league, which is about 6 years old now. He's put it up, and all he needs is his league mate, me, to win my matchup, and he would have got in the playoffs, but I lost. So the 213 points was futile in the end, because he still missed out on the playoffs. But it was an excellent effort, Sharps.
It was excellent,
yeah.
How many of those guys did you have?
Five.
Five
of them.
Addison, Hill.
Nakua, Hill, Adams.
Oh, wow.
Putting up 213 points and still missing out on the playoffs is the purest definition of impotent rage.
Yeah, yeah.
Which might be my new team name next year.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of impotent rage if you had these players, though. Brock Bowers. Not a great game. James Cook, my projection beater, but sure. DeAndre Swift, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf has been on this list far too many times. Debo Samuel as well. T. Higgins, disappointing. His worst fantasy performance of the season when you needed him to go off. And then Jaden Reed with the weekly goose. I'm pretty sure this week have had a weekly goose. There's been a lot of gooses this year, not just the tight end. So it was Jaden Reed this week. Very nice of him to do that. Yeah. Before we get into the news and injuries, Al, we like to be accountable, don't we?
Mm. Yep. It was an all right week. It was an okay week. I mean, Lou, I think you did the best. Yeah, you did the best. You had hits at your tight end and wide receiver. Darnell Mooney, the 20 fantasy points. Kraft with the 13. A miss with Cook, those you've already mentioned, and Mayfield pretty much hit his projection. Luckily for me, Aidan O'Connell got injured because he was heading for a right stinker of a game. I don't know what I was thinking. But you got carted off, so injury. Few.
Hey, get in. You were cheering in the air when he was carted off, weren't you? Fist pump in the air, get in.
Yeah, that saved me a miss there. DeAndre Swift was a miss though, but I got a hit with Jackson Smith and Jigba at my wide receiver. Noah Gray, just the 6.6 fantasy points, and Sharples, Sam LaPorta, Tony Pollard, and Jordan Love all pretty much hit the fantasy points, but as Lou just said, we had that goose with Jaden Reed, unfortunately. I don't know what happened there. The golden goose.
In such a high-scoring game as well, I just picked all the people who did nothing.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent stuff. Injuries. Jonathan Brooks, rookie running back for the Panthers. This is going, really. He's torn the same ACL that he did in college. Can't imagine how the mental toll of that, not just the physical one on this guy, but yeah, hopefully he rehabs it properly and has a chance to come back at some point next year. But that is gutting, really. Isaac Guerrero left the 49ers game with a foot sprain. He's considered day-to-day, so monitor practice reports. Justin Herbert suffered a leg contusion. I was watching the highlights and I saw Heinicke come in for a little bit, so it's a bit like, what's going on here? But he did come back in the game, should be fine going forward. Derek Carr injured his left hand on a really bizarre play where he tried to, I don't know, leapfrog one of his own players. What? I don't know what he was doing, but serves him right.
He's like whole nose got squashed out of his helmet.
He's going to miss multiple weeks. Bucky Irving was sidelined late in the first half with a back injury. Aidan O'Connell, as you said, carted off the field. He's been diagnosed with a bone bruise, so it weren't actually that bad. Really, was it? So you don't have to feel as bad about cheering and crying with happiness, Al.
I knew that Jackie Potatoes had skin, but not bones.
Okay.
He's got such like a chocolate milk mustache as well. Like, mate, come on, shave it off.
Yeah. And these ones didn't happen at the weekend. They happened before it because, I had a couple of these players on my teams and it was great news that I had to try and replace them on the Friday. Breece Hall missed with a knee injury. Ken Walker also missed his game as well. Ladd McConkey missed with knee and shoulder injuries. And Al, I want to hear your take on this. So George Pickens missed the Steelers game with a hamstring injury. And Matt Thomas already come out and said he's probably going to miss the Eagles game as well. Coincidentally, that's after, he's given it the big one and Matt Tomlin's like, yeah, this guy needs to grow up. Is this a legitimate injury or is this a bit like, right, sit down?
Well, I think I called a sit down on Anthony Richardson earlier in the year. And that was before he got officially benched. But I think I called a bit of a sit down in terms of, by a sit down, we mean The guy's banged up, but if it's the championship game, if it's the Super Bowl, they're probably playing. But it's a sit down because it's a bit like you need to grow up. And I think George Pickens needs to grow up, yeah. We've not been able to catch any of the in-season hard knocks over here. I really want to check it out. Apparently Mike Tomlin's eating a lot of like Doritos and Cheetos and sort of stuff in
nice.
In the meetings.
Nice. Wouldn't expect anything less from the man. Okay, let's look ahead to week 15. Week 15 in the National Football League. Before we get into our usual segment, I just want to have a quick look at the playoff picture, playoff watch, and I just want to get your guys' takes on some teams you think might be in for a show. AFC, this is a bit simpler. The Raiders, the Patriots, the Titans, the Jets, the Jaguars, the Browns are all out of playoff contention. The seasons are virtually over. And the Bills and the Chiefs, shock horror, have both secured their division titles. So they'll be, the 1-4 seeds, depending on the other placements. The Steelers can clinch a playoff spot with a win this weekend, and I think the Texans can as well if they win and the Colts lose. But AFC wise, on the outside looking in at the minute is the Colts, the Dolphins, the Bengals, all of which are a couple of games back, really. Are we set in here, really? You know, the 3 seed at the minute is the Steelers, 10-3. Then 4 seed is the Texans, 8-5. Then the Ravens, 8-5. Chargers, 8-5. Broncos, 8-5. So Colts and Dolphins are 2 games back on that. Bengals, 3 games back on that. Al, anywhere, is there any of those 3 teams that are on the outside looking in that you think maybe could sneak in? Or is that pretty much set?
I think were pretty much the, and I think the teams, particularly in the AFC, that are set are the ones that should be in the playoffs and probably make for the best matchups, really.
Yeah. 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 Couple of games back, you'd say, really. NFC-wise, Sharples, I'll come to you. The only team eliminated right now, mathematically, are the Giants. Would you believe it? Everybody else at the minute is still, you know, mathematically possible that they could make the playoffs, even the Panthers and the Cowboys, you know. Lions and Eagles have both secured a playoff spot, but no divisions have been clinched yet. Vikings could clinch the playoffs with a win. Currently in the playoffs would be the Seahawks at 3-8-5, Buccaneers at 4-7-6, then the Vikings 11-2 as the 5 seed, the Packers 9-4 as the 6 seed, and the Commanders 8-5 as the 7th seed. Outside looking in, Rams 7-6, Falcons 6-7, Cardinals 6-7, 49ers 6-7, and then we're getting into a bit of ridiculous territory when we talk about the Saints 5-8, Cowboys 5-8, Bears 4-9, Panthers 3-10. But I reckon, you know, 49ers, Cardinals, Falcons, Rams all maybe have a decent show. Interesting that three of those are in the same division. So same question to you, Sharples. Out of those guys there, I guess those four teams, who do you reckon has the more realistic shout of breaking into the playoff spots?
I mean, I think probably, as we've already talked about, the Rams really coming into form, so they'd be the main team. Interested to, I think they'll still make it, but I'd be interested to see how the Commanders finish the year. Obviously 8-5 now, but not been quite as, you know, rolling as much as they were earlier on. So while I think they'll still make it, I'll just be interested to see how they finish. Packers again should look good. I think the Falcons might be done already. They've lost what, 4 in a row now. I think it'd be a real turnaround for them. So Rams would be the strongest, and then you're probably looking at, like you talked about, Cardinals.
Maybe would you believe
49ers if they win every game, but
that's it. Yeah. Would you believe it though? According to the NFL website, of those teams on the outside looking in, the Falcons have the highest percentage playoff probability. I guess that's because they are. I don't know. Maybe that division. I don't know. They're only one game back on the Buccaneers, but the Rams are also only one game back on the Seahawks. So you don't know. But yeah, that's the playoff picture at the minute. Al, we'll start as we always do.
Forget about it.
All right, yeah. The forget about it section. Players that are locked into your lineup, no matter what, don't even think about it. Just put them in there. So at the quarterback position, we've got Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels.
Forget about it.
Running back, Saquon Barkley, Derek Henry, Bijan Robinson, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Forget about it.
Wide receivers, Jamar Chase, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Justin Jefferson, Nico Collins.
Forget about it.
Tight end, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, George Kittle.
Forget about it.
Can't in good conscience tell you to put Kelce in without even thinking about it at the moment, unfortunately. I mean, he's having a bit of a lull again.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, so projection beaters, guys, we think are going to outscore the ESPN projection by 4 or more points. I'll go first because I did tease this in the group chat with my quarterback. I'm going with Kirk Cousins. Projected 13.2. Yeah, this one ain't nice, but I think I can talk you around in a pretty convincing way. I don't think Kirk Cousins is completely washed. We've seen him play well this year, we have. And contrary to popular belief in recent years, he's played particularly well in primetime. In 3 primetime games this season, he's averaging 326 passing yards and 2.3 touchdowns, which accumulates to an average of 22.24 fantasy points per game, which would be quarterback 3 at the position in points per game. So you've heard it here first, Kirk Cousins, top 3 quarterback in prime time. The issue is, he hasn't played in prime time a lot recently, which is why the Falcons have been rubbish. But they've been rubbish because they've not been playing in prime time. So you see the vicious cycle that's been going on. But thankfully, the NFL has blessed Atlanta this week by placing the Falcons in prime time on Monday night. And they've fully scripted in the Kirk Cousins resurgence game by putting them against the abysmal Raiders, who in the last six games, the Raiders are giving up 266 passing yards and almost three passing touchdowns per game. That's in the last six games. So yeah, that's all laid out for you. Kirk Cousins is going to go off this week. I think we can all agree. There we go. Kirk Cousins is my pick. Al.
Yeah, I've gone for Kyler Murray, projected 18.7 versus the Patriots. It's been a very up and down season for Kyler, which I think the quarterback 10 mark on the season so far signifies. The Cardinals have come for a really vital stretch of the season in a bad way. They've not played very well all over the past month or so. And Murray has had almost double the giveaways in the past three games as he had in the previous 10 before that. Fortunately, they play New England this week, who have struggled to turn the ball over this year, having just 11 turnovers on the season, and they are a pretty bad team. So I'm not going to overcomplicate it anymore. I'm just going to say Kyler can be very good for fantasy, and the Patriots are bad. So yeah, let's have a big one in this game.
Nice, Sharples.
Gone for Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback for the Dolphins, projected 15.9 points against the Houston Texans. Very, very measly projection for me, especially considering that in his last four games he's had 23 points, 28 points, 25 points and 23 again. On a bit of a hot streak, 11 touchdowns in those last few games. I think Al said before they're not quite the offense they were last year, which they're definitely not. But now they've had a bit of a run with Tua back in there. They are looking a lot better. Houston, not a terrible defense, but probably not quite as good as we thought they'd be. They're middling against quarterbacks so far this year. I think it'll be a fun game. I think it'll be quite high scoring. And now that Jonnu Smith has suddenly emerged as the best tight end in the league, he's got another weapon to throw to. So yeah, I think it should be an interesting game. And I think just given how good he's been over the last 4 weeks, I thought 15.9 was a little bit harsh, so I'm trying to attack what I think is a bit of a stingy projection on this one.
Of course, nice. Running back, I'm going Rashad White, projected 11.6. Listen, all it took was Bucky Irving getting banged up for Rashad White to look like a decent runner of the ball again. Highest yardage total of the season this past week, on the ground, that is. And with, you know, Irving status for week 15 is up in the air, but likely going to be banged up if he does play anywhere. So I think Rashad White is probably in for a larger workload again. And it'll come against a Chargers team who've been significantly worse on the ground recently, defending the run. They're giving up an average of 141 yards and a touchdown on the ground in the last three games. So I think White is a safe start this week because of the decent rushing workload for once, and also there's that potential to blow up with his usage through the air as well. So Rashad White for me. Al?
Yeah, I'm going Brian Robinson Jr., projected 17 at New Orleans. Eccleston IR, so Robinson is the best running back in this backfield by far. The last time we saw him, he looked great as well. He had that huge touchdown run, 103 yards against the Titans. He looked faster than we've ever seen him look. And the Saints give up 22 fantasy points per game to opposing fantasy running backs. Commanders have scored the third most rushing touchdowns this year so far with 23. And given the stats in terms of rushing touchdowns and rushing yards, they're clearly one of the top three rushing offenses in the league, along with Philadelphia and Baltimore. So that explains the high projection in this one, but it's a plus matchup, and I want Robinson Jr. on my team.
Nice. Sharples?
Gone for Chase Brown, running back of the Cincinnati Bengals. High projection, 17.9, but ever since Brown displaced Zach Moss, he has been getting everything in this backfield. All the carries, not just carries, reception work as well. Last week against Dallas, 8 receptions for 6 catches, 65 yards and a touchdown. I think with the game script with this particular match, it's probably going to be less about receiving, more about rushing. I think the Bengals are going to get up early and stay up against the Titans. And they're still happy to give Brown the ball on the ground. He's had plenty of carries again since he displaced Moss. So I just think this is going to be a pure volume game. 17.9 is a high projection, but I think it's warranted. I could see a 20-plus point game for Brown this week against the Titans.
Nice. Wide receiver, I'm going Khalil Shakir, projected 14.4, because it's Buffalo versus Detroit. Over-under is 55 points. 55 points. So, yeah, one play is in this game. Simple as that. But I'll elaborate a little bit more. Shakir, he hasn't seen fewer than 7 targets in a game since week 7. He's going to be peppered again in this one against a Detroit defense that is crumbling. And Shakir operates in a very exploitable position of this Lions defense. Since week 9, Detroit have allowed the 3rd most fantasy points in the league to slot wide receivers. So Shakir, 55 point over under, Super Bowl preview. Yeah, that's my pick. Al?
Yeah, I've gone Jacoby Myers, wide receiver for the Raiders. Projected 14.4 versus the Falcons. Now, the last 3 games have seen Myers get 36 targets, which has been turned into 23 receptions for 285 yards. 0 touchdowns, but we know that Myers has been allergic to the end zone throughout his career. In fact, since Adams was traded, Myers has been averaging 16 fantasy points per game, and during that time is on a 17-game pace of 102 receptions for 1,258 yards and 3 touchdowns. All this is to say he's been really involved and he's having a pretty underrated season despite the awful quarterback play. The Falcons, who he plays this week, ranks 2nd to last against the polls in fantasy wide receivers, allowing 32.8 fantasy points per game. It's going to be Desmond Ridder, but as I mentioned, Myers hasn't had a good quarterback all year and he's not let that stop him from being a solid fantasy option. So don't let that scare you away from playing Myers this week.
The Riddler. Nice. Sharples.
Terry McLaurin, wide receiver for the Washington Commanders, projected 14.3 points. I'm not really sure what McLaurin has to do to get high projections, because he seems to get a low one each week despite the fact that he is the wide receiver 5 on the year. Admittedly, not been a great year for wide receivers, but even so, last 2 games before the bye, he put up 21.2 against Dallas and then 27.3 against Tennessee. He's coming up against the Saints team that's given up the 6 most points to fantasy wide receivers. He's a bit of a risky player because he seems to either score 2 points or 20, so hopefully it's not going to be a 2-point game. But I think last couple of games, the Commanders have been looking good in the passing game. I don't think the Saints are going to provide too much resistance. He's the clear wide receiver 1 in that team, and 14.3 does feel a little bit low for the wide receiver 5 on the year, so going for scary Terry.
Nice.
Tight end, I'm going to go Pat Freiermuth, projected 7.1. Touchdown in back-to-back games. Looks like he and Russell Wilson are finally on the same page, and I think they're going to need him this week against the Eagles with George Pickens probably out once again. Al?
Yeah, I'm going David Njoku, projected 12.7 versus the Chiefs. We thought this might be the case, and yes, Njoku is becoming pretty vital to this Cleveland passing attack. He's been the tight end 3 since week 11. Chiefs are a plus matchup for tight ends as well, giving up 13 points a game, but they also allow 26 points to opposing wide receivers as well, and Njoku is often more like a wide receiver than a tight end in this passing offense, so I think there's going to be enough opportunity for him to have a nice game here.
Nice, and Sharples, round us out.
Going for a man who I've admired his game for a long time, many years. I definitely didn't just hear about him for the first time this week. Stone Smart, tight end for the Chargers. Exactly.
Is that the cousin of Rock Clever?
Yes, that's exactly right. Stone Smart. Purely because Will Disley's out for multiple weeks, Hayden Hurst is still out, and so he will be effectively the only tight end on the pitch for the Chargers. Played last week against the Chiefs, got himself 3 receptions, 3 catches for 54 yards. So, listen, I'm not expecting him to pull out a Brock Bowers and score 30 points this week, but should be relatively safe with the volume-wise. Tampa Bay, not great against the tight end, giving up the 5th most points to him so far this year. So, 7.8 should be nice. Hopefully won't goose me like old Jaden Reed did.
I'd have gone for his cousin. I'd have gone for his other cousin, Brick Bright.
I was going to say Brick Brainy, but yeah. and also we forgot to say it at any point in the podcast, but kickers are still crap. Crap.
Yeah, yeah. And I could rubbish. Still do it with my eyes closed, like I said 3 weeks ago.
Shapples, round the podcast out with your game tiers.
Yeah, a lot of games this week. Everyone's had their buys, so my fingers were starting to hurt after I'd finished all these. Only one in the great boys. I don't think you'll have to stretch too far to work out what it is. It was the Lions against the Bills.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big time.
Good few in the good, though. I've got the Rams, Niners, I've got Texans, Dolphins, I've got Packers, Seahawks, and Eagles, Steelers.
I'm intrigued at that Eagles Steelers. Really am.
Same.
Chunky meh section, unfortunately. But Saints, Commanders, Browns, Chiefs, Titans, Bengals, Giants, Ravens, Cowboys, Panthers, Chargers, Bucks, and Vikings, Bears.
Unfortunate, but true.
Who are the Bengals against?
The Titans.
Oh, yeah. In my head, I thought you said Tampa, but Titans. No, thank you.
Yeah. And then we've got 4 in the bad. We've got the Jaguars against the Jets.
Yeah.
Broncos, Colts, Cardinals, Patriots, and Raiders, Falcons.
Raiders, you're putting the Kirk Cousins resurgence game in the bad, are you? Interesting.
Yes.
You know what his primetime numbers are? I just highlighted his primetime numbers.
You did. All right. I'll rejig that. They're still bad, but it's
gonna very
be
bad.
Yeah, it's going to be better than the Jags Jets game.
Okay. Nice. Are they ranked as well? When you do these, when you're reading them out.
Yeah. No, they're not. I just
okay. Right.
In my mind.
Let me have a quick see of the 6 o'clock games, by the way, because we got done over last week in the UK with the 6 o'clock games. They were dreadful. Pretty bad again.
Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah, that was awful what they did to us last week. We had Giants Saints, Titans Jaguars, Dolphins Eagles wasn't a pretty game. Dolphins Jets, sorry, wasn't a pretty game. Vikings Falcons kicked on in the fourth quarter. We had to watch the Browns play. It was awful.
It was. Yeah. But that'll do us, lads. Any closing thoughts?
I'm just... No time for closing thoughts this week, Lou. I'm just getting prepped for the fantasy playoffs. Thanks.
Okay.
Don't know. Cool. I know you two have got plenty of time for closing thoughts then.
Listen, I've made the playoffs in more than half of my leagues, but just not the most.
You would rather
one,
make
which kills
you would
me
rather,
inside.
Yeah, you would rather. It's that league that you could be in 10 leagues and make the playoffs in 9 of them, but you don't make the playoffs in that one league, and that's what kills you. That's the worst.
Like I'm in 6 leagues this year. I'm in the playoffs in 4 of them. Yeah, it just doesn't. I just not asked because the main one just fell completely flat for me and I crashed and burned. So I'm sure once the fantasy playoffs get going, I'll feel differently. But at the minute, I'm still pretty somber.
Your team's called the Pigskin Extraordinaires, and it. I don't know about you, Shep. I don't know if you agree, but the Pigskin Extraordinaires have had that kind of season where. You clean house after this year, really. You clean house after the season the Pigskin Extraordinaires had this year. You know, it was looking so good, then everything
clean
just
house
went wrong.
Change name.
Yeah, you clean house. I think it's one of those seasons, Lou. I think you've ran it back one too many times.
Yeah, I just don't. We're not going to get into it massively, but I just don't get it because you look at my team and my team still should be good. Like, like John Love is my quarterback. I picked up Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's been pretty nice. My running backs were bloody Ken Walker and Jahmyr Gibbs and J.K. Dobbins. Obviously, Dobbins has been injured. A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Brian Thomas Jr. You can see where it went wrong, as I'm starting to say it. And also, I had Brandon Ayuk and Rashee Rice. The Rice one really killed me. I think my team was on a downward trajectory ever since the Rice injury happened, because he was really... He was my best player, and he would have been if he kept playing, but whatever. It highlights what you were just saying, though, about the about McLaurin, Sharples, because Jahmyr Gibbs is the running back five. The guy's scored over 25 points like twice, yet he's the running back. It's just not felt. My team, I you know what? We'll leave it on this. We'll leave it on this, okay? I added this up. The whole season, right? All 14 weeks. Do you want to know how many of my players scored over 25 fantasy points? Quarterback included, everything. How many times I had a player score over 25 fantasy points in all 14 weeks?
Three. One.
Six. Six times, which is awful. Considering you probably had
that this week.
You had six this week. And in 14 weeks, with nine or whatever positions at play every week, I had six of them do that. So my team just completely busted this year. But anyway, we'll end the podcast there.
Thank you for your closing essay, Lou.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lou.
Yeah.
I'll just sign off with 213. You'll never sing that.
Oh, that'll do us. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.